The Sinai Peninsula, a dry area, not some place that we talk about very much. Think of an 80-year-old man walking through that dry area. He's lived there for 40 years. He's worked with sheep. What can you surprise an 80-year-old with? What can you surprise someone after he's been there for 40 years? Moses figured he would always be there. And to a certain degree, he ended up being in the Sinai the rest of his life. But one day, as he was there with the sheep in that dry area, he noticed something starting to burn. Well, it's dry. It won't burn very long. It will be gone. But it kept burning. And it kept burning. And this 80-year-old who had seen everything in the wilderness, he got over to that bush to see what was this new thing. And a voice came from the bush, "Moses, the land where you are standing is holy ground. Take off your shoes." Holy? Moses had been over that whole area. There was nothing special about it. But he obeyed. And the voice told him, "I am the God of your fathers. I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm going to send you to Egypt. And you are going to bring out of Egypt your people." Moses was 80. Yes, he had more energy than most 80-year-olds that we know. But what had he done for 40 years? Yes, he had good education as a young man, but he had not applied it. And remember, he had killed a man. What could Moses do? And so in this chapter, we see how Moses responds. "I can't do it. I can't lead these people. There's no way I can do it." And God argues with him. "Moses, what is in your hand?" It wasn't special. It was just a rod. It wasn't special. God said, "Take your hand and put it inside your clothes." Well, it's just his hand. But he put it inside his clothes and it came out worse than when he put it in. It was leprous. Well, now how could he save the people? God said, "Put your hand in again." He put it in again, and it came out healed. But Moses continued. He said, "I have always been slow of speech." And remember, for 40 years, what had he been talking to? Sheep. How can I go to Egypt and argue with these well-educated people in a language I've not spoken for 40 years and take from them perhaps their greatest asset, millions of slaves? I'm going against a powerful nation. What can I do? And God's answer was not, "But Moses, you know the language. But Moses, you know the people. But Moses, you lived there. But Moses, you grew up a prince." God didn't say that. He didn't say, "Look within yourself, you will find the power." No. God kept the focus on himself. He said, "Who made your mouth? You are not going to Egypt in your wisdom, in your skill, in your education, in your experience. You are going to say what I have created you to say." And Moses was not convinced. "I can't." And God got angry. "Okay, Moses, I'll send your brother. I'll send him." Now we know that in the end Moses did the speaking. But God was not happy with Moses' arguments. I look across the Christian world and I see many people who are just like Moses. I can't. There's no way. I hear that so often. 25 years ago, I had a student. Those of you who have been teachers, you know what a promising student is. You have all kinds of students. Some are more fun. Some are more intelligent. Some are more capable. Some learn faster. But then there's just that rare student who is what you would call promising. He had been in the military and they'd noted special things about him. And he had been in a special honor guard. He came to our Bible college and he learned everything fast. Everybody liked him. He had everything right about him. But I started noticing something that was wrong about him. Anytime I would say, well, in the future you can do such and such, can't you? He would give me an excuse, excuse after excuse. And I will tell you that in my heart I began calling him Mr. Excuses. And now 20 years later, I don't think he's amounted to much. All he had in his life that he hung on to were excuses. He may be an icon of excuses, but I've met many Christians like him. There was a time in my life when I was tempted to do what he did. Certain things happened in my life, and I looked around and I saw loss on every side. And I began praying to God. I can't. You see, I don't have this. You see, I don't have that. You see, I don't have this. You see, I don't have that. If you use that argument, guess what you will do? Nothing. But I look at how God reasoned with Moses. At the beginning of the chapter, he didn't say, now let's figure out what you have, Moses. You have a brother in Egypt. You have a sister in Egypt. You're the same race as those slaves. You have an education in Egypt. You grew up with the man who is now Pharaoh. You're his peer. God didn't use that argument. And God didn't say, okay, Moses, what do you not have? You're a murderer. You've lived in the wilderness. You've been a shepherd. You don't know all this other stuff. No, God said, Moses, what is in your hand? And that is the question I want you to ask yourself today. What is in your hand? Don't ask the question, what do I not have? If you want to know that answer, that's very long, I know. The shorter answer is, what do you have in your hand? And Moses answered, it's a rod. Something that had its use, yes, but was not amazing. It was something very, 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 very simple. But we know the rest of the story, don't we? Moses held up that rod and the Red Sea parted. Moses struck the rock and the water came out. But what was so powerful about that rod? Has anyone in all the history since then ever researched what kind of wood was that? How long was it? None of that mattered. What mattered? God worked through that rod. When God was saying to Moses, what is in your hand? He was meaning, what will I use in your life? Now, there are many stories in the Bible where I think the logic is exactly the same. And if you have this paper that I've prepared, you can look and see these examples. Do you remember the story about the widow? Her husband had been a prophet and he died. And the widow had two sons, and their bills kept rising, their debts kept rising. And she said, what do I do? So she went to the prophet and said, I have all these debts. I don't know what to do. The prophet did not say to her, what do you not have? What abilities do you not have? What relationships do you not have? He asked a very simple question. What do you have? And she gave a very simple answer. I have a jar of oil. Everybody back then had a jar of oil. Nobody thought that was important. And we know the story. Go home and borrow empty vessels. Borrow empty vessels. And they went to all their neighbors. Large pots, small pots, jars, anything they could find, and they filled their house. Well, that doesn't help. The bills are still there. And the prophet said, now fill them with oil. Well, that's impossible. I have a small jar of oil, and I have all these big pots. But she obeyed, and she began pouring, and she began pouring, and she began pouring. And she filled all those pots with oil. Now what? She had a house full of oil. What good is that? She still had all those bills. And the prophet said, now go sell that oil. And all of her bills were paid. What did she have? A jar of oil. We have the story of Shamgar. It's not a very long story. It's just a little verse. After him was Shamgar, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. An ox goad. If 600 men came after you and I gave you an ox goad, would that make you feel any better? It's not the ox goad. We don't even use those anymore. They don't help anybody these days. Shamgar used the ox goad and killed 600 men. But the key was not the ox goad. The key was God worked through the ox goad. Samson, an amazing man, killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. I have been to many Christian bookstores that sell many crazy things that are kind of silly. But I'm thankful I have never seen a Christian bookstore selling the jawbone of a donkey. It's not going to help you. Don't buy one. The key is not the jawbone of the donkey. The key in Samson's life was God worked through the jawbone of the donkey. David killed Goliath with his sling. Something very small, something very unimpressive. And I have seen slings for sale, but they're not going to help you. The key was not David's sling. The key was God working through him. The angel came to Mary and said, you're going to give birth to Jesus. And she said, how can that be? I have an empty womb. What good is an empty womb? I have nothing else. I have no degrees. I have no status. I have no relationships. I have no experience. How can God use me? God wanted to use her empty womb. And through all that happened, Jesus has come, and Jesus is the Savior of the world. Joseph, the angel came to him, and he was ready to give up. I don't want this. My girlfriend is going to have a baby. I don't want to be part of this. God said, you are unmarried. I want to use you. Wait, but I've not had experience being a father. I'm not even married. And you want me to do what? He was the man entrusted with the role of being father to the Son of God. I hope you see a common thread through all of these people. In a sense, God asked them all the same question. What is in your hand? And the answer from all of them was very simple. Nothing anybody else would want. I have a rod. I have a jar of oil. I have an ox goad. I have a jawbone. I have a sling. I have an empty womb. I'm unmarried. And God did amazing things through them. Because the key was not them. The key was not the thing they had. The thing was what God did. I've met many Christians, and I've heard Christians give all kinds of excuses. I like to go home and laugh because I hear people say, I can't because I'm married. And then I hear people say, I can't because I'm single. And I go home and laugh. Well, then who can? I hear people say, I can't because I'm old. And I hear people say, I can't because I'm young. I can't because I'm a man. I can't because I'm a woman. Well, how am I going to live my life listening to all of those excuses? Frankly, I don't listen. God doesn't say, what do you not have? God says, what do you have? Don't give a pile of excuses. Ask the simple question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? For 4,000 years, Christians have answered that question very strongly. Nothing. And we have seen simple people doing amazing things. And not because they were simple. They simply went to God and they said, this is who I am. Use me. One of my favorite stories is of an elderly woman who was not able to leave her house. And she prayed to God, I have nothing to offer, but I want to serve you. What can I do? I don't have money. I don't have health. I'm old. I don't have my youth. What can I do for you? I want to do something, but there's nothing I can do. And she prayed. And she prayed. And then she remembered. I have a telephone. I have a telephone. And in her community newspaper, she listed a simple little ad in her community newspaper. Do you have troubles? Call me. Everyone loves to talk to a grandmother. And people started calling her. They called her. All she had was a telephone. No. She had a telephone and God. I want to ask you, what do you have in your hand? Don't look at yourself when a problem faces you and say, but if I were only like this person, if I only had that, if I only were older, if I were only younger. That is not the logic you should use. Simply say, what do I have? Moses had a rod. He did amazing things. The widow had a bottle of oil, and God did amazing things. Remember Sarah? She used that argument, I'm too old.
Today we might agree with her, but we would be wrong. She laughed. I won't have a child. I'm old. And for 4,000 years, the joke has been on her. We call her son Isaac, which means laughter. And we now laugh at Sarah. You were not too old for God to use you. God did amazing things. Mary said, I have no husband. How can I do this? Mary, relax. God will do the amazing thing. God called Jeremiah to be a prophet. And he said, but I'm a child. Jeremiah, don't give that excuse. God has called you. God will use you. Isaiah said, but I'm a man of unclean lips. No. God merely asks, who will go for us? And last week, the week before, Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Moses says, but I am slow of speech. Can I tell you something I think is very funny about chapter 4? We've just read it. Did you notice? I think it's very funny. He argues, but I don't know how to talk. And what was he doing all through chapter 4? He was talking. He was arguing with the Most High. He was proving that he could argue with a mere Pharaoh. Moses, it's not you. It's God. Remember the widow of Zarephath? Elijah went there and saw her. The brook had dried up. If I were him, I would imagine that God would take me to this large house full of resources. No, here was this widow with a child, and she was fixing her last meal that wasn't even enough for the two of them. Did God make a mistake? You and I know he did not. And so Elijah says, I want you to fix me some food first. And the widow was shocked, but she obeyed. And for the rest of that famine, one thing she didn't need to worry about was food. What do you have? She had too little food. And God used it to feed three people for the rest of that famine. The widow of the prophet, she had nothing except a jar of oil. Now I have put on this sheet of paper in very large letters to make sure you don't miss what I'm trying to say, what I think is the key to all of this. God simply says to us, I am with you. And we as Christians often want every other kind of assurance. Okay, God, will you be sure to give me enough money? Well, God, will you provide these people to be with me? But God, will you make sure I don't get sick during that time? But God, will you make sure... You look how God argues with Moses. At no time does he assure him of any of those things. But what he does assure him with is, I am with you. They do studies of human behavior. If you have a group of people, it's much harder to convince them to change their minds. If you have an individual by himself, it's easy to get him to change his mind. It's easy to intimidate a person who's by himself. We as Christians often feel alone, but I want to emphasize not the word alone, I want to emphasize the word feel. There's one truth about every Christian. God says, I am with you. On that score, every Christian is the same. Does every Christian have the same amount of money? No. Does every Christian have the same amount of ability? Well, no. Does every Christian have the same amount of experience? No. Does every Christian have God with him? Yes. Today, I don't know what is going through your minds. If you are like me many years ago, you are saying, but I don't have this, but I don't have that, but I don't have this. Well, that may be true. I'm not here to say you're wrong. But that's not what you should be thinking. God asked the question, what do you have in your hand? And maybe you'll sit there and laugh at me and say, well, I just have a rod. I just have a jar of oil. I just have an ox goad. Don't ask me that question. No, that is what God asked. And when that simple answer came, we know what happened for the next 40 years. Moses went to Egypt. Moses argued with the king time and time again through all the 10 plagues. He went again and again, and the king would say, yes, you may go. No, you may not. Yes, you may go. No, you may not. And finally, at the end, the king said, get out of here. And then what happened? The king started to pursue them. And then the Red Sea opened. Well, the Israelites went across. Well, what kind of miracle is that? The Red Sea was still parted. Now the enemy could come across. No, Moses, you're safe. Relax. When the enemy was in the sea closed. But that wasn't the end. All through the wilderness, they needed food every day. They needed clothing every day. They needed protection from enemies for 40 years. And God took care of them. And people came to Moses with all kinds of problems. And Moses spent all day answering their problems. And finally, Moses brought them where they were on the other side of Jordan. He had fulfilled his duty. He had fulfilled his task. And he died. And Joshua led them into the land. For 40 years, that rod was with Moses. No, not the rod. God was with Moses. As you look at your life, maybe you'll say, well, all I have is my youth. Good. God is with you. Maybe what you say is, all I have is my old age. Good. God is with you. Maybe you say to me, what I have is something positive. I have abilities. Good. Maybe what you'll say to me is, I have lack of ability. God can use that. God can use your lack of ability in amazing ways. Do not underestimate what God can do, because He has promised, I am with you. Let's pray together. Oh God, we come to you this morning bringing what we have. You know that in our lives we look to the past and we see brokenness. But we bring that to you. We come to you with our talents. And in some areas of our lives we see emptiness. But we bring that to you. We come to you with our abilities that you have given to us. And we give those to you. We come to you with the experience and experiences that you have brought to us, and we give those to you. And we are saying to you this morning that we are counting on your presence in our lives. You may use us how you wish. You may use our strengths, you may use our weaknesses. But what we ask is that you do so. We are willing to give ourselves to you. Now please use us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.